I want to talk to you this morning about what would it take to make you happy? What would it take to make you happy? I know boy, your light bulbs are going off in your head now. Would it be money? Would money make you happy? Would it be a new car? Brand spanking new car, whatever you can think of that would make you happy. Some people are like, well, if I lose some weight, I'll be happy. I've heard all kinds of things. I mean, all kinds of things that will make people happy. When you win the lottery, people spend all their money buying lottery tickets, and hoping to win, just to win a little bit, and that would change everything. But I think really the popular idea is that if you have the right set of circumstances, if it's the right set of circumstances, then that can make you happy, right? But my question is it possible to be happy even if the circumstances are not perfect? I've had a lot of thought on this week. This has really been on me about what happiness or true happiness really is. And the Bible teaches us, though, that happiness is not based upon our circumstances. It's based upon our attitude. And that's where true happiness comes from. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, we know it as the Beatitudes. And a couple weeks ago, we didn't have church this past Sunday, so a couple weeks ago I preached on the Beatitudes. And so I want to go back to the Beatitudes and I want to talk about really just one, which is so I want to read them all this morning so you can listen to Matthew chapter 5 and what Jesus is preaching here. It said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Let it just burn into our minds and our hearts this morning, Lord. Let us understand and Lord, let us leave here better than we came. And I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So each of these Beatitudes, we see the word blessed there at the beginning. And if you remember, there was different definitions between Hebrew and Greek of what that really meant, But if you look at the Greek, one of the translations to blessed is known as happy. They use the word happy. So in other words, every time you see blessed in that message or in this passage, you could substitute the word happy. And so today we're going to look at verse 3 of the Beatitudes. And so we can read that as, "Happy are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." So the verse sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it, to me? It sounds like it contradicts what true happiness. Happy are the poor? Do you think if you think about being poor, you think people that are poor are happy? Being poor doesn't sound like there would be very much happiness in that. But being rich may not bring you happiness either. I know a lot of rich people that are very unhappy people. And so wealth doesn't bring you happiness. But Jesus is teaching that true happiness is not based on external circumstances, but on an internal attitude that we have. And so that is B, attitude, right? So what we become, attitude of who Jesus is saying, this is who you need to be. And one thing you need to be happy. You need to be blessed, but happiness doesn't come from external things. In other words, your happiness should not depend on just the right circumstances in your life that's going on, but on your right attitude that you have. You can be happy. You can praise God in all kinds of situations, right? Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they were beat, thrown in the bottom of the jail, and they could have been there, woe is me, having this pity party or crying and whining about why they were there in the prison. But what did they do? It wasn't about their circumstances. They praised God anyway. And God saw their faith. We know that the story says that the building shook and the doors flew open and the chains fell off of them and they were able to leave, you know. But so their situation didn't change their attitude of prayer, of being happy. And I can't imagine, it would be hard to be happy after you've been beaten, flogged, and thrown in prison, wouldn't it? It really would. So our circumstances, the reason why we can't base our happiness upon circumstances is because our circumstances change all the time. Almost every day, really, in small ways, our circumstances can change. Sometimes circumstances change after you walk out of the church house and you slip on the only piece of ice that's out there in the parking lot and you fall and you break a hip or you fall and hurt yourself. Now the circumstances are changed, right? All the things that you thought you were going to do for that day now is out the window, and now you're going to be 5 or 6 hours in the ER waiting for some doctor to look at you, right? Everybody loves to sit for 5 or 6 hours in the ER, right? Waiting room with all the sick people and all that going on, you know. Circumstances change, and circumstances will change. But if we have the right attitude, we can be happy no matter what our circumstances are. And that's a fact. The fact is happiness is a choice. We choose to be happy. That's what I choose. I would rather be happy than sad, wouldn't you? I think all of us would agree to that. So let's look at another focal verse here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's, so what does it mean to be poor in spirit? It doesn't mean, this is what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we have no value. It doesn't mean that I need to have low self-esteem. It doesn't mean that we need to put ourselves down. It doesn't mean that Jesus died for junk, I guess you could say. That was the word I was thinking of. He died for people that he loved very much that had value to them. And so I would say that you have value. We all have value of importance. We all have a worth. We all have a purpose. We all have significance. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't, because we're not. There's not one of us here that is perfect. Only the Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said that. Why do you call me perfect? He said, there's nobody here perfect. But we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done things against God, but yet we have value to God, and God was willing to send his son to die on a cross for that sacrifice for us, to cover us, even before we were even born, before he ever knew us, before the foundations of the world was created. God knew and had a plan to send his son to redeem and to save humanity. He knew this. That must be value, or he wouldn't have done it. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? It simply means we need to have an attitude of humility. It comes to our relationship with God. We are all on the same playing field, us together here. We're all the same. We have different roles. God is asked me, chose me to be a pastor, to preach. But he's chose you to do other things too. It doesn't mean that I'm more valuable than you are. You know what I'm saying? Just because I am, you know, I'm up here or elevated here, Yes, on this platform. And we had this discussion this morning about what a pulpit was. Interesting. John brought this up. It was like, well, I don't know. Let's look it up. We think a pulpit is this thing right here. And it's really not. It's any place that you're elevated and you speak from. It's interesting when you look at definitions. Let me get back on track here. You know, when it comes to our relationship with God, we all are on the same playing field. And we all depend on Him for our salvation. And poor in spirit equals humility. And humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. You understand? Humanity, or humility is admitting that you don't have it all together. Humility is admitting that you don't know it all. And humility is realizing that the universe doesn't revolve around you or me. And humility is admitting to God that you need Him in your life. That's what humility is. So my first point this morning is humility, it will reduce your stress level. It will. When you know that, you know, I know this for a fact that I don't have all the answers. I get asked a lot of questions. It's just like this morning. I was like, well, I don't know. Praise God for Google, right? He sent Google for a reason. And you know, that's a burden sometimes on my shoulder. Sometimes when somebody asks me a biblical question, it's like they think I ought to know this. You know, that's what hits me. And I'm thinking, okay, I should know this. I want to know this. But sometimes I honestly do. I don't know the answers to the question, but I can find out. I can look it up. I can study. And I, you know, I think I'm not a walking concordance for sure. But I know a lot more verses today than I did before. You know, several years back, I know more about the Bible now than I've ever known about the Bible or the Word of God. It's because I study and I study the scripture and I read and but I still don't know it all. And I always remember the scripture, and I say it often because Paul was so right about it. He said, I don't have it all. I haven't attained it all. Don't think I have all the answers. It's a mystery to me, a lot of it. But I'm striving to understand. I'm striving for perfect. I'm keep studying. I keep trying to learn. You know, I still rely on those tools like Google. I'll tell you what, it's wonderful. I tell you, I have a lot of respect for John Wesley back, you know, in the 1700s, because they didn't have Google then. If you needed to know something, you had to look for hours and hours and hours and hours to find it. And it took lots of study time and lots of prayer time. They relied solely, and I feel jealous of that sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I need to just throw Google out the window and not use it and just put my time into that. But then it takes time away from other things too that's important, you know? Anyway, I'll get back on track. You know, the thing is we rely on what God has given us. God has given us some wonderful tools to use, and we can use those. I can quickly look up any scripture. I can say, how many times in the Bible does it say this word, love? And within seconds, it'll just tell me every scripture that deals with love. And I can look at those, and that's an amazing tool. You know what? You guys can do that too, right? And I hope that you do. Those questions that you have, use those tools, you know, but sometimes admitting that we don't know it all is really humbling ourselves to, you know, but we don't have to solve all the world's problems. I know we want to, and we try to sometimes in our conversations, but the truth is we can't solve all the world's problems. You can't, you don't have to be like CNN and fake the facts that you don't have all the answers. Oh, come on, you can laugh at that. That's funny. But it's true. There's just so much out there that people act like they just know it all, and truly they don't. I'm not perfect, but I can tell you that I can tell you the one who is. Amen. I can tell you that. I don't have to play like I know it all, but I can show you the one who does know it all. I can guide you to Jesus, and that's what my job is, right? Amen. But guess what? All of us as believers in Jesus, that's our job, to guide each other closer to Jesus. There's one thing I've heard. I call it the American proverb, and it's more a worldwide now. Is it goes like this: he still puts his pants on one leg at a time. You ever heard that? I think that's kind of a famous saying, is because guess what? We all put our pants on the same way. It doesn't matter whether we're rich, poor, or whatever. And that's a sign of humility. Some of us may stumble around a little bit more now than we used to when we're trying to put them on, but we all do. I think there are times that we take ourselves too seriously and we don't take God seriously enough in our life. And we're trying to impress people. And a lot of times when we try to impress people or each other, that leads to more stress in our life. And when we are able to humble ourselves, when we admit our dependence upon God, it reduces the stress in our life because we realize that we don't have it all together. And my stress goes down and my happiness goes up the more I focus on God and the less on myself. Because our life can be complicated. And we can get caught up in the complications of our life, and that causes a lot of stress in our life. Happy are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Our humility also improves our relationships. I mean, I could say this: how many of you love to be around people who just know it all? They just think they're just big-headed and know it all. Teddy does.
Yeah.
How many of you like being around people who just brag and boast about themselves all the time? I hope that's not me. They're like, that's why nobody hangs around the pastor. Yeah, I try not to be that way. I really do. How many of you like being around people who are just full of themselves? Nobody really likes that. Prideful people are, I always say this, prideful people are a pain in the blessed assurance, aren't they? But most people have a self-centered attitude, and most self-centered people are never really happy. Down deep down, they're always looking for happiness, and many times they build themselves up by cutting people down. And on the other hand, how many of you like being around people who are humble? And don't try to impress people. Don't try to, they're honest and open, and they even tell you funny stories and mistakes that they've made in their lives. We like that, right? We like to be around people like that. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And humility doesn't mean that we think less of ourselves, but we think more about others. When we become interested in others, we become interesting to others. And that's discipleship, is what I'm trying to say. That's what a church should, how a church should function, is we think less of ourselves and we think more of others. When we become interested in others, others are interested in who we are. And they want what we have. And we're different because we have Jesus in our life. Our relationships, they really will improve when we become humble. And we don't have to, like I said, we don't have to be right all the time. We don't have to have all the answers. But it becomes easier to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I messed up. And we all say that sometimes. Humility changes things. Humility changes relationship. It changes our relationship with one another, but it also changes our relationship with God. So let's look at this verse here in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. See, the change of attitude. The change of attitude was required by God. And that verse tells us that there's really four steps that improve our relationship with God. We are to humble ourselves, number one. We are to pray, number two. We're to seek God's face. And then the last one is we're to stop sinning. We're to turn away from our wicked ways. When we do these four things, our relationship with God improves. And if you notice again that the first step in the second Chronicles there is to humble ourselves. Humility improves relationships and helps us to become happier in our life. Our third point today is humility releases God's power in our life. So if we look at James chapter 4, James 4 verse 6, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So I think I'd like God's strength in my life, wouldn't you? And the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. And the Bible says that spiritual power is given to those who walk humbly before the Lord. And God gives us strength to those who realize that they need to depend upon Him. And I think we need to consider the majesty and the mysteries of God. And when we do that, you know, I'm in awe of God. When I consider that God, where He's taken me, where He's brought me from spiritually in my life, who I was before to who I am now, that's humbling. Sometimes I act a little impulsively. Sometimes I'm not thinking things through. Sometimes I wait too long when I should have jumped. Sometimes I open my mouth and insert my foot, and I get myself in trouble, and I have to apologize when I don't want to apologize, and I do anyway because I know that I should. Sometimes I feel inadequate. Sometimes I feel unqualified, like I don't belong. Sometimes situations overwhelm me. I'm not much different from any of you. I think we all feel that same way at times. But it's at times like that when I pray to God and I ask Him for wisdom and strength. When I humble myself, when I'm at my humblest point in my life, that's where I find God. That's where God works in my life more. When I humble myself before Him, He strengthens me. And I realize that I'm where I'm at, not because of who I am, but because God is who He is. And I'm strengthened. Not because I'm strong. Not because I'm just a great guy, but because I have a great God who loves me very much. And I think that's what Paul was thinking about when he said this. And in 2 Corinthians, Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power may reside in me. You hear the humility in that statement. God's strength imperfected in weakness. You have often heard that God helps those who can help themselves, but that's really not a true statement. It's not. The truth is, God helps those who realize they can't help themselves. And He expects us to do our best, though. But He also expects us to rely on His strength. And when we admit we need Him, that's when He steps in. Most people find Christ in a stronger relationship with God in a crisis moment in their life. Because we're desperate. We're desperate for something to change. We're desperate so much that we need God more than we need air or the next breath. And God steps in and changes your life. It takes a humble person to admit when we're that we're weak, because we don't like to present ourselves as weak. So I would ask you this morning, is there an area in your life that you're trying to get control of and it's really just not working? Have you humbled yourself and asked God to take it from you? Have you admitted to God that you just don't know how to fix it? And I would say, tell that to God. Tell it to God. And sometimes we just don't have it all together and that we just don't know what to do next. Humble yourself before God. Sometimes when we don't have all the answers that we're supposed to, we got to just come to Him humbly and admit our weakness and ask Him for help, don't we? Because in our humility, God brings strength in our life. And humility brings about power in our life to overcome things in our life. And humility brings about happiness because God provides that happiness to us when we're faithful to Him. He does this because we can't provide it for ourselves. You can't make yourself happy spiritually. You can find temporary happiness, and this world's full of temporary happiness. We see it. Drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things. Pornography. I could just keep naming off these things, and it only brings temporary happiness. God gives us grace. He gives grace to the humble. And it's, you know, I love that again. Happy are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So if you want to find true happiness this morning, humble yourself before God and you'll find it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I, again, thank You for this great group of people that are here today. They didn't come here to just hear me. They came here because they love You. And they're looking for more of You. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today, that they would just humble themselves today, right now. That they would just reach out to You and say, Lord, I need You. I need You today to be in my life and to take control of my life. I don't have all the answers. I don't understand it all, but I do believe that You are real and I believe that You love me. And so, Lord, I just give my life over to You today. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit moves in the hearts of those that are here today and those in the hearts of those they come in contact with the rest of this week. I just trust you and I honor you today. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.